Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to the Empowerment Place. This is your host, Apostle Valerie Burrell, here with my wonderful husband, Apostle Benny. We are grateful to God tonight for this another empowerment session. We are excited this evening to have as our guest a phenomenal woman of God, Finish on the Oaks here in Bluefield. She's BAMWB. Amen. But we are one. Amen. We are one.
Amen.
I'm grateful. Her topic tonight is love. And we all know, because we all have our own idea of what love is. We have our own definition of how it's to be experienced and felt and communicated with us, what the Holy Spirit has given her about love on tonight. And I don't want to get in the way because I'm excited and ready to hear what the Spirit of God has to say through you. So, my sister, I'm going to turn it over to you at this time.
All right. Good evening, everyone. I'm so grateful just to be able to share what God has shared with me. I'm thankful to both Apostle Valerie and Apostle Benny Burrell, just because it's wonderful when you know that you're hearing from willing vessels of God. And so I am grateful for the opportunity just to be able to share and to receive love from them, and not just any type of love, but godly love. So I want to start off just tonight just with a little quiet time, just a little time to kind of reflect on what you all think love is. So if you could just sit in a moment and close your eyes and forget about anything and everything else, but just the one word, love. What does love mean to you? What does love mean to you? Well, Father God, I thank you and I praise you for who you are, Lord. I thank you that right now you are making it less of me and more of you, God. You are moving right now over telephone lines and over internet waves and in households and in homes, and you're breaking down walls and you are building up walls of love. You are flowing through spaces with just love. God, now that we're thinking of all these big, grand ideas of what love is, God, remind us now that love is just simply you. God doesn't just love us. He is love. So I thank you now, Father, that you are love. Help me to minister to and help others to receive what you have for them. Lord, help me not only to be taught, but also to learn. Thank you, Father. In your holy name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
If you all have your Bibles, if you could turn with me to 1 Corinthians 13. It's a very familiar passage for me because that's our family passage. Anytime we have a wedding, a funeral, a family reunion, a recital, or if we're just eating for a meal, we always go through to 1 Corinthians 13. And so for me, I have begun to just kind of take this love thing for granted and not really thought about the pureness of love. We add so much into love, and then at times we water down love. So I'm going to read to you just in starting with 1 Corinthians, the 13th chapter. And it says, if I speak in the tongues of men and of angels but have not love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have a faith that can move mountains but have not love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and surrender my body to the flames but have not love, I gain nothing. For love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It is not rude. It is not self-seeking. and it is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrong. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails, but where there are prophecies, they will cease, and where there are tongues, they will be still. Where there is knowledge, it will pass away. I'm going to read that also in the Message Bible. If I speak with human eloquence and angelic ecstasies, but I don't love, I'm nothing but the creaking of a rusty gate. If I speak God's word with power, revealing all his mysteries and making everything plain as day, and if I have faith that says to a mountain, jump, and it jumps, but I don't love, I'm nothing. If I give everything I own to the poor and even go to the stake to be burned as a martyr, but I don't love, I've gotten nowhere. So no matter what I say, what I believe, and what I do, I'm bankrupt without love. Because love never gives up. Love cares more for others than for self. Love doesn't want what it doesn't have. Love doesn't strut, doesn't have a swelled head, doesn't force itself on others, isn't always me first, doesn't fly off the handle and keep score of the sins of others. It doesn't revel when others grovel or take pleasure in the flowering of truth. Love puts up with just about anything. It trusts God always. It always looks for the best, never looking back, but keeps going to the end. Love never dies. Inspired speech will be over someday. Praying in tongues will end, and understanding will reach its limit. We know only a portion of the truth, and what we say about God is always incomplete, but when the complete arrives, our incompletes will be canceled. Amen. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his word. As I begin to think about love, I thought about how often we say things like, oh man, it's beautiful outside. I love it when the sun is shining. We say things like, oh man, is she cooking a beef roast? I love beef and potatoes. Do we really love those things? Or do we just like those things? When you say things like, I love my child. I love potatoes. I love my child. I love potatoes. You see how we misuse sometimes the word love? We water it down because I don't think that we have the same affection toward potatoes that we have to our child. The essence of love is just to be who God created you to be. The scriptures tell us that God is love. God is love. So if God is love, then it's safe to say that love is a choice, correct? Because we have a choice. We have a choice if we want to have relationship or intimacy with God. So if God is love and love is a choice, and your choice is God, then it should be safe to say that you are love, correct? So when you walk into a place, you don't have to tell people that you love this or that you love that. It's evident because you're in the place. You are just love. And the sooner that we realize that we are love, the sooner we will realize that we can do these things that God has said that we can do. In the scripture that says that love never fails. God never fails. So if we are a portion of God, then is it safe to say that in God, we never fail? Do we fail? Yes, because we're human, but in God, do we ever fail? It says that love is patient. If we are God, does that mean that we are patient? Are we always patient? No, we're not. In our flesh, but if we are consumed by God, can we aspire to be more patient? When we say that love is kind, are we always kind? No, we're not always kind. But if we remove love and place God in there, God is patient. God is kind. God does not envy. God does not boast. God is not proud. Then if we are made in his image, can we say, Ami is patient. Ami is kind. Ami does not envy. Ami does not boast. Ami is not proud. I may have you a little bit confused right now, but what I'm trying to tell you is that we waste so much time trying to love that we miss the mark instead of just being. Because if we believe in the scripture and we believe that it is in him that we move, we breathe, we have our life, we have our being, we are God and God is love, then we can just do it much easier. We can just be, and it would be love. The time that we take to find out others' inadequacies, the time we take to gripe and groan about things, we are going against the grain. Have you ever realized that when you start to talk about someone else or when you start to feel uncomfortable about a situation, your whole body language changes, your muscles tense up, you start to feel ill, you have a frown on your face, because that's not how we're created to be. We are created in God's image, and God's image is love. So regardless of the situation, if we face it with love, we're better off. We're better off with our mental, with our physical, with our emotional, because we just have to love. When Eric and I were going through some counseling, we were talking to a pastor one time, and he said to me, he said, do you realize that love is not a feeling? And I said, elaborate, please. And he said, you know, love is a decision that you have to make. He said, every day when you're married to someone or when you're in whatever type of relationship it is, every day you get up, you have to make that decision to love them. Now, I don't know if I totally agree with that or if I don't agree with that, but what I do know is that if love is a decision that we have to make daily, then we need to start making that decision daily. So how do we make that decision daily? How do we say, I want to love more? I want to do more. How do we do that? How do we love more? I'm talking in question form because I'm hoping that I'm forming some things in your mind so that you can figure out how do you love more? How do you become a more loving being? How do you, for me, I like to think up little tidbits and little tips that will help me through my day. And so just here recently, I went to Philly, and, you know, Philadelphia is labeled the city of brotherly love. And so as I was walking, we were walking and touring a lot of the different spaces, and I noticed that people were just jolly and happy. Now, people say that's not always the experience of Philadelphia, but I'm saying from my experience, I noticed that there were different cultures. There was black, and there was white, and there was brown, and there was tall, and there was short, there was fat, there was skinny, there was people with hair dreaded, there was people with silky hair, there was people with blue hair. It didn't even matter, but they all had a common drive. They were walking with purpose. And so I thought, is that the love they speak of? They were so jolly. They just didn't seem like they were bothered by anything. And, you know, the police came down the street, and there was like 5 or 6 police cars. And for me, I'm a country girl, so that alarmed me. And I started looking around. These people just kept walking. And I said, man, maybe they have so much crime they don't know. Then it hit me, and I said, they're not bothered by that because this is the city of brotherly love. And so maybe they are living off of the vital energy. And so that's where I begin to say love, living off of vital energy. Love, living off of vital energy. So I thought, what does vital mean? So I looked up vital in the dictionary, and it began to say, you know, vital means necessary. Vital means you have to have it. Vital is the necessary component. Your vital organs are your brain, your heart, the things that you have to live. So we're living off of vital energy. We're loving. God's energy is the vital energy that we have to live off of. It's necessary for life. So if we live off the energy of God, we don't have space for the other things that get us off kilter and off base. So it doesn't matter what people do to you. If you live off of the vital energy that comes from God, you have no space for anything else. It's the essence. In chemistry, the most basic thing you have in chemistry is an atom, pretty much. Now, atom is made of protons, neutrons, electrons, photons, all those different things, but in the nucleus of an atom is a proton. A proton is a positive force. So let's just say that atom represents the world, the solar system, the galaxy, all of God's creation. And right in the center of it all is God. That positivity. There's neutrons that have no basis at all. They're not positive nor negative. And there in the center is both the protons, but all around those protons are clouds of electrons, which are negative, which is a negative feed. And so the proton is there in the center, being just what it is, never changing, never doing anything. The electrons change their levels. They change all those different things to make different elements. I'm no chemistry buff, but I do know that Jesus is the center of it all. I do know that he sends us things, science, to show us who he is. So if he is the vital center of everything, and the negativity can only react if the positive allows it to, then why don't we use that as a basis? Why don't we understand that God is at the center of it all? He's love. Love is at the core, the center. And that's it. That's all. There's nothing big about it. We make love so big and so complex. I'll love you if. I'll love you when. You don't wait to love someone when you do. That's conditional love. That's not the love that we're loved with. So that's really not love, because God is love. And anytime that you have to put something in front of it, an adjective or something to describe what love is, then that's not really love. Because the scriptures say God is love. And that's the love I want. That's the love I want to represent. The love that doesn't need an adjective to show me that it's a watered-down version of, that it's a conditional. Oh, I will love them if they vote for the same person that I vote for. I will love them if they come up to the same economic status that I'm in. I will love them if they're the same denomination. I will love them if they break up with their boyfriend because I don't care for his family. I will love them if they don't stand up there and give me a long sermon. I will love them when they treat me better. That's not love. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not boast. Love is not proud. Love is not rude, and love is not self-seeking. It's not easily angry. It keeps no record of wrong. It does not delight in evil, but it rejoices with the truth. And the truth of the matter is that God is love. So from here on out, when you think about someone and there's a condition on how you feel about them, know that you're not loving them with godly love. Regardless of how you feel about a person, you are to love them with a godly love. What if God wasn't patient with us? What if the scripture said, love is not patient, love is not kind, love does not envy, love does not boast? Because you could put God in it. What if it said God is not patient? All right, if he's not patient, he's giving up on me already, because I do things daily that fall short. So if we would judge love on strictly on what God tells us it is, he says, I am love. Love your neighbor. Love your enemy. Love the uncomfortable spaces in life. Love the people who don't love you. How often do we love the people who don't love us? How often do we love for the condition? Because God said you can speak all these big words and you can claim that you have it all together and you can do all these things, but if you are doing them without love, it's nothing. So unless you have a pure heart and you're loving in its entirety, and I know that's a stretch to even think that we could have the heart of God to love like God. It's a stretch, but we can strive for it daily. We can realize that people, we can agree to disagree. We can realize that we're not always going to get along. We can realize that there are people who look different than us. We can realize that there are people out there who are hurting and longing for the love of God. And as long as we look at them through judgmental eyes instead of the heart of looking at them through the eyes and the heart of Christ, we are nothing. And we gain nothing. So how do we do that? Well, we could begin by, if you're struggling with loving someone that you have an issue with, or you're struggling with doing things that you feel from the heart of God and the love of God, you can begin to just insert your name into 1 Corinthians 13. And you can say, you know, if Ami speaks in the tongues of men and of angels but has not love, then she's only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. Fourth verse, you know, you can begin to charge yourself so that you can hold yourself accountable. Ami is patient. Ami is kind. Ami does not envy. Ami does not boast. Ami is not proud. Ami is not rude. Now, does that mean that Ami is not rude? No, that doesn't mean that, but that's holding me accountable. That's holding me to a charge. That's holding me to a standard. And I want to be held to a godly standard. So daily, hold yourself to a godly standard and watch those walls of hatred come falling down, and we will remove ourselves from the judge zone, and we will enter into the love zone, and we'll begin to love people regardless. And as we begin to love people regardless of who they are, regardless of where they are, then God can begin to do a work in us. When we love, and we love unconditionally, then and only then is it more than just an affection. It's a mutual affection. It's an affection that God gives us and we in turn give it to Him, and it expresses the unselfish esteem of the object that we're loving. The object that's being loved. And then it becomes a circle. You give love, you get love. 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 Then love is overflowing. But sometimes if we're not giving love, then that could mean that someone's not receiving it. Because if you were assigned to give love and they don't receive the love from you and they're giving, then they're not giving off of their overflow. They're giving off their emptiness. And then they're empty because you didn't follow your assignment to love them completely and wholly through the heart and the eyes of God. Is it always easy? No. I could say that it probably wasn't easy for Jesus to love Judas when he kissed him, but it was necessary. You have to love regardless of the situation. Because Jesus knew that if he didn't love then Judas, then he would not be who he is. He loved without fault. He lived without fault. He went to the cross without fault. That's the undying love that we need to mimic. To be more like Christ is what we aspire to do every day. But we easily stand and say that daily, that we aspire to be more like Christ, and then we turn right around and hesitate on loving someone who doesn't look like us or doesn't believe like we believe or doesn't have the same sexual preferences we have, doesn't have the same political party that we have. You know, someone that may be homeless and someone that lives in a million-dollar home still has the same affection from God. So who are we to judge what type of affection they have? We're supposed to give that undying, unselfish, patient love that always protects, that always trusts, that always hopes, that always perseveres, that always fit, that never fails. Because when we love with that type of love, it's easier to heal and to help others heal. Now, that means to love the murderer. That means to love the rapist. That means to love the crooked politician. That means to love the instructor who gave you an E when you deserved an A. That means to love the mother who is very well dressed and her children look a hot mess. That means to love the child who's always disrespectful in your classroom. That means to love the principal who is just sees black and white and no gray. That means to love and love, and love some more. And when you can't understand how to love, then you say, God, 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 because God is love. So sometimes when it's hard for you to love, if you speak his name, it'll put things in perspective for you. It'll say, he loved me past my faults. He loved me when I was that disobedient child in the classroom. He loved me when I was that judgmental teacher. He loved me when I was that crooked politician cooking the books. He loved me when I was that prostitute or whore in the street. He loved me when I was that poor person, even though I'm making millions now. He loved me when I was making those millions and now I'm poor. He loved me beyond my faults. He loved me so much that when I didn't get it the first time, that Adam didn't get it the first time, that he gave me a second chance. And that second chance of pure love wrapped in flesh, hung on the cross, and died a gory, horrible death, just so that in case we missed what love was, I'll show you what you couldn't see in your face, I'll let you see with your eyes as I go to the cross for you. And in case you can't even go with your eyes, what about that feeling that's deep inside you that comforts you and shows you the way? That's me. What about that thing that picks you up in the midnight hour and lets it be okay? That's me. That's love. That's who I am. That's what I want you to tell the world. That's what I want you to show the world. That's what I want you to believe that you have inside of you. I left it there for you. I placed it inside of you so that when you walk into situations, they change. Love covers a multitude of sins. You don't always have to say anything, my child. Just walk into the space and watch my love abound. God's bigger. God's greater than anything we could ever imagine. And so if God is love, then love is bigger and love is greater than anything we can ever imagine. So I challenge you to just try love. When you can't do anything else, try to live off that vital energy. What's vital for us? God. It's in him that we live, we move, and we have our being. Live off of God's energy. Love. Live off of God's energy, nothing else, nothing else. God's energy. I challenge you to do that this week. Very simple message today. Just love.
Amen.
Just love. Now, God, I ask that you just continue to wrap your arms around us, Lord, and just continue to love on us, God. We feel your love, and we're grateful for your love, God. Now I ask you this week, as we're challenged with a hard time, Lord, help us to love. Help us to seek you when we can't love, for you are love. God, now as we come to an end, God, I thank you for giving me the message of love, just plain and simple, breathing you in and breathing you out is experiencing love. I thank you and I praise you. And I hope that and pray, Lord, now that this fell on good, fertile ground. God, I thank you for the love that's going to be demonstrated this week and throughout our lives. You are God and you're God alone, and we are grateful. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. You say this simple word, this love is not simple. And even in how you expressed it on tonight, this message will challenge us, because there are times when we say we walk the walk, talk the talk, live the life, but we have issues with people.
Mm-hmm.
We're not being patient.
Amen.
We're not being kind. We're not being those things, and we're forgetting how patient God has been with us. How, even as
Amen.
You stated, how he loved us so much so that he gave his only begotten son, that God, that we might have life and have it more abundantly. That's what love is. Love is favoring others before self. Love is being compassionate. It's being sympathetic at times. It's empathetic at times. It's all encompassing. But yet, you're so right. I'm grateful to you for the boldness to speak this message on tonight. Grateful to the Holy Spirit who gave this to you. And I hear the passion, because I feel your heart about how it even awakened some things in you. And you're a loving, kind person, but it also touched some things in you. And I can appreciate that, because often when the word comes, it's for us first. So I thank you. We have several callers on the line. If there's a question or a comment that you'd like to make, we do have a few minutes. You can press 1, and I can bring you live. Amen. Wow. When you were talking about that being patient, I know how I've been dealt with over the last few weeks about being patient, because Valerie was feeling one thing, but I had to be obedient.
Mm-hmm. Yes, ma'am. Mm-hmm.
I had to be obedient, because Valerie was feeling a certain kind of way. But then I had to be obedient, and, you know, wow, I had to be obedient. So some relationships are still intact that had I operated on according to what I desired, yeah, folks would have been cut off. But God, because he is
okay.
Love. And for those of us who have a relationship with him, have an ear to hear what the Spirit of God is speaking, then we're going to adjust our activity and our behavior because of that.
Mm-hmm.
Now I'll share
mm-hmm.
with you that if there's somebody who does not have a relationship with God, does not want to acknowledge who God is, sometimes you can't expect love from that person because they're hurting and they're still lost. That's when we as believers have to be willing to show forth even greater love. The word said love covers a multitude of sin, but love is the bait that gets them.
Mm-hmm.
We can love the mm-hmm. unlovable. We can love the ungodly. That's what draws them to Christ. So even when they're acting a certain kind of way towards you, don't give up on them. Don't give up on them. Remember
Amen.
That God didn't give up on you. I mean, you know, both of us are at college campuses. You Bluefield State, me Bluefield College. And we've encountered some students that we knew. We know why you're tripping. You're missing some stuff. But I'm going to love you. I'm going to give you love so much so that I'm going to watch you transform right before my eyes. We've seen it.
Thanks, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Praise God.
We've seen it, how love has made a difference in those college students and how it's impacted the communities that we're in. So, yes, like she said, I challenge each of you that are listening live and those who will listen later, just sort of check yourself, because even as you took the moment to pause before, when you thought about love, some of you, the first thing you thought about were the folks you don't love.
Right.
When she said to just clear your mind and think about love, you thought about the individuals that are not reciprocating the love. Oh, yeah, this is what love is, and I do this for them, and I don't get that in return. That means that you got to check yourself. You got to check some gauges, because if those were your thoughts, then you've got to understand that you're not really operating in love. Ah, okay.
Yeah.
Amen. See, I just you know how
it's
we
true,
do.
You know, the scriptures
Amen.
Tell
we
us, you know, that, you know, scriptures tell us that the greatest of these things, there's faith and there's hope and there's love, but the greatest of these is love, you know? And so when we can love, when we can love through the tough stuff, through the hard, I challenge myself daily by loving and loving the people who sometimes I know really don't love me or really have a tough time
right.
with me. I'm not the easiest
right.
person, I know that. But I know that God did that for me. I probably wasn't the easiest person. He loves without fault, and that's God. But
Amen.
If he had to
Amen.
Line up and make a line of people, I'm pretty sure I wasn't the easiest to love.
Right.
So,
right.
With
Amen.
That being said, I have to be able to love that way as well. And it just makes
Amen.
It so much easier when you don't look at people's faults. I feel like that's just, in this day and time, that's just the cat, that's what people go off of is, you know, I can't love them because they don't vote the same way I vote. I can't love them because they don't look the same way I look. At the end of it all, we are, the spirit man is who we're loving. And if we take everything off, we are supposed to be one in the spirit. So if we take everything
Amen.
Off, you're just supposed to be loving that spirit. And so often we're worried about loving that fleshly stuff, that stuff that at the end
yeah.
of time, it doesn't
yeah.
even matter. All things will come
stuff,
to an
yeah.
end, but love
yeah.
will never come to an end.
Never fails. Never failed. Never failed. Never failed. My sister, if you would share some contact information in case somebody wants to hear some more from you, powerful woman of God, social media pages or how people can
yeah.
reach you, if you could share that information.
Sure. On Facebook, my name is Omi Oakes, OmiOakes. My cell phone number is 304-887-9595. You can also send me an email at omi.oakes, omi.oakes, at yahoo.com.
Yeah, y'all, she
I
gave
would love
y'all
to.
Her number. Don't call her. She ain't going to answer the phone. Send that email. Send that message on Facebook. No, I'm teasing.
I was going to send me an email, because the next thing she's going to say is I'm not going to answer your messages either. But I will. I would love to hear from you all, just in giving. You know, I love to just talk. I'm a conversationalist. And so sometimes it's hard for me to speak. Just, this was a challenge for me just to speak without having people
dialogue.
Like in church, like you can see people and
yeah.
yes, and you can dialogue and have conversation, but I'm a conversationalist. So I'm always ready to talk. And just, you know, dissect the word of God, because we always assume that we know, but the word, this is the living word, so it's fresh and new every day. It's just so amazing
yeah.
that God's love and God's word. Today I went to church twice, which I often do, but my friend Carl ministered first this morning at Bethel United Methodist, and then my bishop, Fred Brown, ministered at FCC, and they ministered from the same scripture, totally different sermon, but wonderful word, and I could bridge them together because it's the living word. So go back and read 1 Corinthians 13, and you may get something completely different, and that's what God wanted you to get from love. So I would love to talk and dialogue, and just give me a call. I will answer. I'm going to be challenged to love better by answering my phone.
I love you. Listeners, as always, we're grateful to each of you who've joined on tonight. Our motto always, after you've been empowered, please take the responsibility to empower others. Now, this word tonight should have empowered everybody, and it'll empower those who will listen later. After you let this get down in your spirit and you start, you know, living this thing out, Share this love message with others. You know somebody that needs to hear this. You know somebody who needs to be exercising in love. Share it with them. Empower them with this truth. I can't say that because we're going to shift that. Amen. You can find me on Facebook, Valerie Burrell, my husband, Benny M. Burrell. We'll be happy to hear from you. If you have a topic or something you'd like discussed on the Empowerment Place, drop us a line. If you'd like to be a guest, drop us a line. We'll have that discussion. But we thank you. We thank you, my sister, for taking the time to be with us tonight. We're thankful for each of our callers on tonight. I pray that this has been a blessing to you, as I know it has been for me. Until next week, we'll be back with another word of empowerment. Not sure who it'll be. I don't know. We'll see what the Holy Spirit says. But I know we'll be back 8 o'clock p.m. next week with another message of empowerment. Until then, know that we love you. We love you, and we mean that. We love you, and we know that God loves you too. Good night. Good night. Be empowered.